You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment. Last week on the Glass Cannon Podcast.
We should wear the key.
I'll take that.
As you start to put it around your neck, you just hear...
Is there a breeze in here?
There is also a sentient hedgehog in a cage.
What's your name, friend?
Oh, my name, it's Hubert Edge!
Do you know anything about getting out of the Thin Lands?
That's a difficult thing. There really is no way out. It's best not to be outside for too long. Lots of creatures, terrible creatures. You are well and truly spiked if you're hoping to get out of here.
Zephyr, you notice that the key, now that's on your neck, it's like sort of floating off your chest and like tugging you.
Whoa. She looks down at the key and lets it guide her.
I feel we have to put our faith in it.
So you leave the confines of Kanipo's court. You arrive at Seven Arches. I mean, at least it looks identical to what you remember. I mean, you certainly weren't in a forest like this. And as you draw near the largest arch, it starts to hum, and the archway itself starts to crackle.
I think we can leave.
One,
two, three.
And through.
Upon passing through, humid air just slaps you in the face like a hot towel. Surrounding you is just verdant jungle. And the portal just wakes up.
The adventure continues now.
Cannon Podcast, nothing we will say in the next 10 minutes will be as funny as the last 10 minutes of this.
Oh, man.
It's a real shame we weren't recording.
How come we weren't recording?
It was all over the place,
it
too.
It really was.
It went from karaoke tunes to pretending to be a dead body to...
Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce, a lot of Bruce.
A lot of Bruce.
And we kind of blew our wad. I have no... There's no way also, it could be funnier.
It was also a truly... Like, one for the books, comment from Sydney.
It was, I guess we could start there.
And no one will ever know what it was.
It's a little rehashing.
Do you want to recreate it?
It's a little rehashing.
Should we recreate it? We were talking about?
It's worth it.
We shouldn't recreate it. We should talk about it. We should do a commentary on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, director's cut commentary on what happened. So, it got around, you were like, we were talking about our go-to
karaoke songs.
Kate kicked it off with a great kickoff of asking, of saying.
Well, I was like, everyone's got to have a go-to karaoke song. And if you don't, I don't want to hang out with you. Because if you don't, you don't think ahead. You don't know how to like play to the crowd.
Yep.
I don't want to hang out. You're going to sing something that's not going to go with the vibe. Whatever. Very opinionated. And that kicked it off.
And then Matthew was like, oh, my go-to is, and it came upon.
It was Joy of the World by Three Dog Night.
Right.
And Thunder Road by Bruce Springsteen.
To which Sydney replies, and correct me if I'm wrong.
Quote.
Take me home, no. Thunder Road.
I was half listening. I was preparing for...
This is revisionist history.
I was preparing for my job.
Here we go.
And I was studying my notes. And I had one headphone in, one headphone out.
Oh, wow. It's getting more. And it's a solar eclipse.
From my peripheral, I heard what I thought was... Country Road.
No.
Wow, you're
just lying. Here's what happened in real time. This is why the commentary doesn't work. Real time.
Matthew said.
We're not Rashomoning this anecdote.
I'll tell the truth. Matthew said, Thunder Road.
Mm-hmm.
And I turned.
Seconds later. Milliseconds later.
That's true. I didn't say Thunder Road by Bruce Springsteen. I just said Thunder Road.
And I turned and I said, take me home. And then immediately everyone turned on me like dogs.
And they're like, what an idiot.
They all started pointing and throwing things and spitting. And then they started playing Bruce Springsteen.
It was more spitting than I was expecting.
That was the most upsetting part. Not the spitting. But when I played the song for Sydney and her heart wasn't ready.
She was angry that we're making fun of her. She took it out on Bruce Springsteen, which you took issue with.
What did you say the song is like? Guy.
I think I said the song is used for torture when a sociopath locks you in a room and plays it on repeat. And then I also... I feel bad. And I said, so what? New Jersey has a highway rest stop named after him. Who cares? And I take that one back. That one was to hurt you, Matthew, and I'm sorry.
And it did. At a certain point, she was like, is it the refrain yet? And Matthew just turned it off and was like, I don't think you're ready.
His kid's like, no, let her make fun of the refrain as well.
Nobody wants to mix that up.
The funny part was where you were like, where's the run song? Where's the song where he runs?
The running song.
That's Born to Run.
You mean Born to Run?
And she's like, that song's good. And what I hear in my head is... they sound exactly the same. It's Bruce Springsteen.
Yep. And then I just started making up a Bruce Springsteen song about what I'm going to do after the recording. And Joe was like, that sounds exactly
like it. You were singing Born to Run with different lyrics.
I was just like, going to leave this recording, go get a bottle of wine.
It was the same joke for 3 minutes, and I laughed the whole time.
Drink some wine while I sit at home. I give my kids a bath, I'm going to drink that wine.
And the whole time, like, why is CJ not recording?
We didn't do slates yet.
That was good stuff.
It then took a turn.
What was the dark turn? I don't remember.
Well, then we did our slates, and we always get 30 seconds of room tone.
Right.
We all be quiet for 30 seconds.
Oh.
And it's a bunch of you hold your breath during that.
Which is crazy. You go like, Troy goes like this.
We're just scared of making a noise.
It's like driving past a cemetery.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
I just breathe normally. Everybody has to be so loud during the quiet time. It's insane.
You could just do this.
I'm
just more aware of my breathing during that time when we're all silent.
I usually pick someone to talk.
Am I breathing too loud?
Usually Sydney or Joe. True.
Kate tries to make other people laugh and ruin the quiet.
Yeah. Yeah. And for reasons that may be Byzantine at this point, we then got into discussion of how you play a dead body when you're acting.
Right. Like when you hold your breath, every time somebody's a dead body in an up close, like Law and Order or something, I do this. I don't know if everybody does this, but I'm like, they're breathing.
Yeah. Boom. You try to get them.
Boom. Right there.
Well, they cut away right before they need a breath.
They do.
Yeah.
But there's a way to do it.
I don't think that guy's actually dead.
Yep. I stand up.
I think they need to reinvestigate this murder because this guy, check him again.
He's faking it. He's faking it.
Yeah. He's faking
it.
Yeah.
The coroner's a real hack.
I want to see the director that is ready to really take things to the next level and use real dead bodies or kill the actor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then like that verisimilitude, I think, will take... cinema to the next level.
It'll be in a new era of cinema.
Yeah, that'll win you the Oscar.
Yeah, yeah.
Posthumously.
Yeah, you could win Best Actor, but you'd have to get it posthumously.
Yeah.
Or as I once said to a client on the phone, posthumously. Because I didn't know how it was pronounced.
But yet you use that word. I would never use that word out of fear that I was pronouncing
it. I thought that I was pronouncing it right. This was many years ago.
You know, posthumously. Know.
Yeah. And he was like, I think it's posthumously.
You said posthumously, and I didn't know what you meant. I think posthumously in my head. I was like, yeah, posthumously.
It's like biopic.
For me, that's Archipelago. It was I'd read it for many years in
Spanish. Archipelago.
It's an archipelago.
My brain goes, archipelago.
I went to high school in Archipelago.
Good guy.
That's good.
Oh, no.
Biopic. I still want to say biopic, and I think everyone else is mispronouncing it.
There was the one I said in A&A, which was prescience, and I said
pre-science.
On air, which, yeah. That's I mean,
she blinded me with pre-science.
Thought I knew that.
She blinded me with pre-science.
I was so confident. Thought I knew that one.
Classic. A&A app. Look it up. Yeah, it's always best to just not speak if you don't know what you're going to say.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they
tell you. So none of us is
we're all like looking at each other nervously. Yeah.
Skid.
Skid you go.
Well, this just shows you, like, we have to just let the cameras roll and see what happens. Because
they should be on all the time.
No, because then everyone's going to think I'm stupid more often than they already do.
I don't think that's possible.
You'll get a lot of great content.
Look at her
this
face.
This is the second mean thing that you've said. Before we started airing, we were like, God. Okay, let's
no,
all pretend.
No, 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 come on. That's
what,
not
what did
possible.
You say? What did you say? You were like, okay, we need to pretend that we're all friends with Sydney right now.
Oh, yeah.
Before we like,
what
start rolling.
We got to act like we're friends with Sydney.
Yeah. Right
now. Like, and then, yeah, let's play pretend.
Let's play pretend. So
we
mean.
We have a lot of fun.
We giggle. Fun. We like to giggle.
You know, one of my original concepts for this show was that I was going to just let the cameras roll beforehand, both audio and visual, but then just use the audio during opening credits. And then the show starts when it starts. So for episode one of this series, that I had that all recorded and just decided not to do it. But CJ and Francis were like, I told them, don't let anybody know, but start recording 10 minutes before we record.
Oh my God.
And it's great. That first episode, the like, as we're bullshitting beforehand, I was going to have that.
What are we talking?
Kind of like a Woody Allen movie. Like it's black and white credits and you just hear us talking.
Or a Dockers commercial.
Yeah, or a Dockers commercial.
Or a Dockers commercial. What were we talking about?
I can't remember. We were just goofing off. We're like, are you ready? I can't breathe. You know, we were doing little bits like that, just shitting on each other. And it was funny stuff.
Just shitting on each other.
But then I was like, I don't want to do this for every episode. We didn't. Yeah. But anyways, from now on, we should
CJ and Francis, I feel betrayed.
Yeah. can't sit with us at lunch
They
anymore.
Signed an oath.
They signed an oath.
Can you sign an oath?
Can you sign an oath?
Anyways, we're going to play some Pathfinder, and we are going to record all of it right after this break.
Every year about this time, Nace, right at this time, I start getting anxiety about Mother's Day. It drives me crazy because I want to get my mom and my wife the greatest gifts imaginable to even try to show how deeply I appreciate everything they have done and continue to do for me. And I'm, as you know, I'm not very creative. And so I feel like I fall short. Well, this year, I have been absolutely saved by Aura Frames. Aura sponsored the GCP, and so I went and dove into this incredible product, and I'm honestly blown away. Over the years, I'll be honest, I have been a little wishy-washy on digital photo frames. It's not really my thing. And then Aura Frames truly pushed it over the edge to a point where I am counting down the days until I can give my mom this gift. I am so excited. So I synced the Aura Frame I got for my mom with the app on the phone, and it's on my wife's phone as well. When we give my mom the frame, it'll already be loaded with like 50 or 60 top-notch pictures of her grandkids from the last year or so. And then because it's connected through the app all through this summer, we can just update the collections from our phone in Jersey, and my mom's Aura Frame will automatically cycle in these new pictures as it sits on her end table in Philly. I've been practicing with one in my house, and it is not surprising to me at all that Aura was named the number one digital frame by Wirecutter, The Strategist, and Wired. It took my wife and I 2 minutes to set it up, and the detail on it is so high res, it looks like a print. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code GCN at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Folks, we're back! We just came back from Austin and Kansas City last week. It's a great time, I think. I don't know. This is all happening beforehand. But please make sure you join us the rest of the year on tour. It is so much fun. If you've never seen us live, or if you're new to us, doesn't matter if you know the story or not, we have so much fun. And we also have a lot of fun with our amazing sponsors for this show.
Yeah.
Joe, who are those sponsors?
We got Demiplane, yep. Troy, for all your character generation needs.
Oh, that's nice. Let's do that for everyone.
I twisted that around. Okay. We have, of course, Foundry VTT.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing, beautiful maps. And for all sound. For all your
virtual
tabletop needs.
Obviously.
Nice. But yeah, I mean, don't forget the sounds too. The sounds are great. I've used them in this show.
Yeah.
You know, usually we're only using licensed stuff, but like their stuff is so good that you can just use it in other production stuff. So it was great. And of course, Norse Foundry. Skid.
For all your random number generating needs.
Generating.
Can I take that again?
One more time.
No, I'm too nervous.
You see Joe with a cue card.
All right, it's probably for the best.
You know what's so cool about Foundry is that, I'm talking about Foundry VTT, the maps for Gatewalkers, because they have this exclusive pack, they're all redone. These are not the, like, in-the-book maps. They're the Foundryized version that the community has made with this pack, and they're just astounding. And you're about to see them really take flight. When this is all said and done, just like we did with Giant Slayer, you should buy the books and see the difference.
You know what's really immersive about the Foundry VTT, at least in the stump that I noticed?
What's that?
You can't not walk through a door.
That's
you
true.
You have to always walk through a door.
Yeah.
That's true in real life as well.
Yeah. And it keeps you, reminds you, like, I got to go this way.
Yeah.
I can't just magically teleport over here.
I can.
You can. But yeah, we have our limits.
Well, you're out of the stump and you are into the jungle.
Where are we?
When are we? Last week, you were just finishing up the brutal fight with Kanipo the Slim. And things take a weird turn when you meet a little hedgehog named Hubert Hedge, who was captured by Kanipo after aimlessly wandering into the stump. You find out from Hubert. Hubert is a native of the First World, and that the Thinlands are a horrible place, and he has no friends except a rock named Susan. And it's really, really sad. His entire family has died, and he just thinks it would be best for you to just stay and live in the tree forever. We'll start a new society. He intimated that there would be some sexual relations, and he wasn't quite sure if it was between him and one of you, or if he was encouraging all of you to have sex. But at the end of the day, you decided we need to get out of here.
Yeah.
You take off of the body of Kanipo the Slim the Shade Wither key, this key that thousands of years ago they found on the body of someone who maybe got into the First World or snuck into the First World, found that, used that to enter the material plane. And then when Kanipo was trapped back in this stump by the elves so long ago, they took that key back. Yada, yada, yada. Eventually it gets in the hands of the Oak Stewards. And then when Kanipo finds Bolan, uses Bolan to steal that key back, you take that key off of Kanipo. First roll off, first full team roll off of Gatewalkers. Zephyr wins it. Zephyr puts it on. As she does so, she hears voices like the others from Lost. And the key starts levitating and drawing you all throughout the stump to the exit, glowing intensively more green as it does so. It's leading you somewhere. So when you finally decide to leave the stump, you follow this key as it tugs and pulls you into this dark basalt forest. You walk in. Brother Ramius pops up some light. It does what it can to at least bring things up to a dim light. And eventually you reach a clearing. It looks identical to Seven Arches, the real Seven Arches. Identical, except it wasn't in the middle of this black forest. It was in the Wildwood. But the site of the arches itself looks identical. And as you draw nearer to it, as Zephyr draws nearer to it, the key gets more intensively pulled, glows more green, and then the largest arch crackles and hums with electricity and grows green as well. You all grab hands, step through, and find yourself in the middle of a hot, humid jungle. The portal winks out, and that is where we pick up today. Let's go to Foundry VTT.
Listen.
What was that sound?
What?
I think we're on Castrovel.
Why?
Because I played the first book of Starfinder, and this looks familiar.
Oh, so you're cheating.
How's she cheating?
I feel like this looks like the map, one of the maps.
I will say, as soon as this session...
They stole a map?
No, I think we're on Castrovel.
Okay. The map budget was low for Gatewalker.
As soon as we finished last week's session, we immediately, I like turned to Skid, and I was like, Castrovel is like the elves, like where the elves are from. He was like, yeah, yeah. I'm like, man, I was thinking Mwangi Expanse. When you said hot and humid in a jungle... Because, I mean, these are like the two places I know of that are hot and humid. But I agree with Skid, because you said it makes more sense for this AP that it would be Castrovel. But I agree with you now, too.
Because of my reaction.
Because of your excited reaction. Yeah.
I must be right.
I think your reaction is unwarranted.
Oh.
You want to come over here and say that?
Go over there.
Say it to my
stand
face.
Stand up.
I'll go over there.
Who's going to stand up first?
I'm not afraid.
Where do you where do you think we are, Joe?
All I'm saying is the only evidence you have is a basic jungle map. And you're like, this must be the planet Castroville. It seems like a big leap.
For
like
audio
the map
listeners.
That we played on 5 years ago. I'm pretty sure this is
game.
The same map.
Completely different game.
For audio listeners, I will say,
I mean,
the map is like
was so intense. You're like,
I know. I don't
found
know.
It.
I got
there,
so excited.
There's a lot of ferns on the map. So,
well,
let's look at the sky. Can we look at the sky and see?
We look at the sky.
There are clues up there.
It's a beautiful blue sky.
Regular
daytime. You went from perpetual night to daytime.
Can I do a perception to look at the fauna, perhaps, and see if anything looks familiar or perhaps alien?
Yeah, I want to do nature.
Sure. Okay. All right, well, you know, let's do this. I'm going to roll these checks for you guys to try and get a sense of what you may or may not know. I will say, without you even rolling, the flora around the archway doesn't resemble any plants you saw either in Seven Arches or the Thinlands. It's different. We're in a different place.
Ecosystem.
There are these very thick green vines that are climbing the arch, occasionally punctuated by these crimson flowers with bright blue stamens. Those look interesting, but to try and get a sense of where you are, tell me if you want to do survival or, you know, just kind of sense direction, or nature, recall
knowledge.
So I prepared something specifically for when we were leaving. I thought we were going to be adventuring around the thin lands for a while.
Okay.
So I prepared the Know the Way cantrip, which is a cantrip that allows you to always know north if there is a north, if there is an existing north. So I think that Brother Ramius could at least cast that to orient himself.
This was previously known direction, I'm assuming.
What's that?
This was previously no direction, right? Or
no direction. Yeah. I believe that's what it was, yeah. Know the way. So it has a couple different layers. You can also choose a location that you were at within the last 24 hours and know exactly what direction that's in.
Mm-hmm.
So, but going through a portal, I think, would foul that up. However, like in order to like get back to where we were. But like, for example, I would feel confident leaving this place, like how to get back to these gates if we got lost in the jungle.
For sure.
Yeah. So it's a cool little spell, but it does act like a basic compass as well.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to cast that?
I want to cast it to see if there is a magnetic north, you know, that is registering in this place. You know, assuming that we are on Galarian and that we're in a jungle of Galarian, I'm curious to orient myself. A direction.
Yeah, okay. So I'll say you cast that and you know that you're not where you were, so that like within a week or what is it? Within
24 hours.
Since you're definitely in a new place and you sense north. Coming from a direction where if you look a little further up ahead, there's like a cliff's edge that may give some sort of panoramic view of the area. It's a little ways away from where you are right now.
Okay. So he'll cast that and just explain what he's doing briefly, and then this way is north here, north. And I think it ends in a cliff up ahead.
How do you know that?
All right.
I'm here too. It's
oh, wonderful.
What is that you just did there?
We're recalling knowledge.
Knowledge?
You wouldn't gnar anything about it.
Gnar, you dart.
You did something with your hands and then you knew where north is. How'd you do that?
It's a blessing of the keeper. He guides our way and allowed me to know which way at least we could find the north, the pole of this planet. This is Galarian. It is the material plane.
Oh, yes.
You're here.
Welcome.
You're on the material plane. Oh. At least I think it's clear.
I've been outside of the first world. It's nice here. It's a little hot.
Feel?
It's a little warm. A little warm for my spikes. Might have to shave them.
I don't think you should do that, actually.
No?
I don't think you're supposed to.
All right. I guess I'll just stay the way I am. Maybe I'll just take off my loincloth and let it all breathe.
Okay.
Oh, you were hot under there, weren't you?
Ramius? Brother Ramius? Let's walk to the cliff's edge, because if there's a water source...
Nature check?
Oh. Yeah.
Yes. All right, so who wants to do nature and who wants to do survival, if any?
I'll do survival.
All right, so we'll start. We'll go around the horn here. What is your survival, Joe?
+8.
+8. What is your nature?
+5.
What is your nature?
+4.
Asta? Nage?
Zero.
Skid?
I don't have anything.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
You ascertain, Talitha, from the ambient climate, hot, humid, and the nature of nearby plants and animals, fruit-laden palm trees, see colorful amphibians scared away running into the brush as you emerge, that you are in a tropical jungle and not likely one anywhere near Avesta.
Okay.
Okay.
So you are, you would feel pretty comfortable that you are on a different continent.
But on Galarian, we're on the same planet.
As far as you know.
I recognize the flora as stuff I've read about in books. And
yeah, I mean, you don't really recognize it. You just feel like you know that there's nothing from where you've been in the world that looks like this.
Yeah. I have a theory of where we are now.
You do?
I changed my mind.
Where?
I think we're on... Because Troy may have tipped his hand. Mm? He said where or when. You don't know where or when you are.
Right.
I was just using
like a primordial landscape.
Or for an Aslan.
Oh, it could be.
I don't know what that is. What is that? What do you mean?
Isn't that the lost city, like how Atlantis is?
I didn't think that was particularly tropical. Anyway, we'll see if you're right.
We'll see if
or Vudra now, could though, be like Vudra.
Could be, but that's different than tropical, isn't it?
No, there's
like tropical.
There's like tropical.
Where Vudrani people are from?
Yeah.
Is it tropical?
Or Tian Sha.
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting to have this conversation in character, mm-hmm. trying to figure out, like, we've heard of places like this, right? I've read of the jungles of Gurundi, of the Gurund. Perhaps that's where we have landed.
It's possibly where the Mwangi expanse. Ooh.
Oh. Big old bug comes off his neck.
Enjoy your malaria.
What is that?
Brother Ramius, like you said, Talitha, wherever we might be, perhaps we can get a better view from this cliffside. And if there's a body of water, that's always a telltale sign for civilization.
Better view, yes. Let's go and look from there.
It's a ways away from where you are. You can walk there, but if you want to take in this scene for a second.
Survival here, I rolled, looking for signs of tracks or anything like that around. Didn't notice anything.
I'm going to get to that. Okay. Basically, I want to give you a little bit more about the arch here. It looks nothing like the arch that you walk through, nor nothing like the seven arches or even the fake seven arches. It's just one single arch standing alone on a plinth. Its shape is different, and its stone is cracked and worn. At the arch's feet lies the ruins of some building that has long since collapsed. Its large gray blocks and obelisks carved with strange symbols and wrapped in the same vines that crawl about the arch. Very strange, strangling vines, strange symbols, symbols that you saw, Zephyr and company, as you walked out of the arch. They're emblazoned on the arch as well. Perhaps these ruins were a part of the arch. It's unclear. You can do a little more looking at that if you'd like, examining more of the flora. But in terms of your survival, you, Brother Ramius, see deep gouges in the stones of the ruins, as well as like a mound of bone-riddled scat the size of like a treasure chest up ahead that suggests to you that a large predatory animal lives nearby. Who's good at Arcana? What's your Arcana?
Plus 10.
It seems like a dragon.
What?
I'm sorry, is this book one?
The markings in the stone look like dragon claws. The this like shit bone treasure chest, it's dragon scat.
Well, it could be a dinosaur as well.
Yeah, it's true.
Speaking
Castroville.
Yeah.
You would know either way, this is not a place you want to linger for too long.
I want to take 1 minute to just examine the runes and the plant. Like, and do I recognize the language?
Mm-hmm.
Even if I don't speak it, do I know? Like, do I understand? Oh, this looks somewhat like a Cyrillic language, or you know, something like that. Even if I can speak the language.
What languages does everyone speak? This is good. It's a good time to talk about this.
Good question.
Or speak or read.
I think I just speak Common. I only have plus one in intelligence.
Yeah, Common and Kitsune.
Common and Kitsune.
I speak, trying to remember.
Bugalarian? Do you even speak goblin, I wonder?
I can't remember. I think I might not, because I think I go kind of back and forth on this, because like he would not have learned it growing up in the household where he grew up.
Right.
But he did like learn a lot from the other goblins that were some of the older goblins that were employed as staff.
Right.
Like his fear of dogs and horses, like he mostly learned from them.
He has restaurant goblin.
Restaurant goblin.
You also speak elven.
You do.
Yes.
Talitha speaks common, draconic, dwarven, elven, and jotun.
Jotun.
And just common and draconic.
Okay. Both Zephyr and Talitha notice that the runes emblazoned on both the building and the archway in particular are elven in nature, but it's like a different dialect. It's nothing that, like, you can't read what it actually says, but you do feel pretty confident that it does relate to the fact that this is an Iodar, an actual Iodar. Yeah, that's all you really know, because it's like a different, it's just a different dialect of elven than either of you know.
For the record, Buggles speaks common, elven, goblin, and halfling.
Wow.
Okay, so you would know this as well.
Yeah. I share the knowledge of this. Whatever did this to this building, it appears to be a work of a dragon or a similar creature.
Like, it's just like time has happened, but then also a dragon lives nearby.
These markings here. And Brother Amius will run his hand over one of the gouges in the stone. It seems like a claw. The dragon claws.
You should...
Scat.
Is it recent? Are the claw marks recent, Brother Ramius?
Well, the scat is, at the very least. We shouldn't stay out here exposed too long.
Agreed. We should move.
Perhaps this is a nest.
Let's get underneath at least some of the foliage here and make our way to the cliff, yes, as Asta said. And we'll start moving to the north toward that cliff to get a better view of the surrounding area, but also to try to get to some cover. Get to some cover.
All right, so... sensing possible danger here, noticing that fresh shit, you make your way north. It's thick. There's no pathway that leads to the cliff, but you do see through the branches that there's an opening offering a more wide view of the area. So you fight your way through, little bugs, little things skittering about, and you make it to this cliff's edge. And from this vantage, this high overlook, you see a rolling blue-green sea stretching westward. Beyond that, two points of interest really catch your eye. One is a jagged mountain range, sort of thrusting toward the sky like teeth. Gray walls, steep and foreboding, many, many, many miles away from where you are. But the outlines of pyramidal structures can be seen on the ranges, one of the ranges' lower slopes. Second, a pair of brilliant purple, perhaps, ropes connect a nearby hill to the pyramids in the distant mountains, like lines drawn through the air guide your eye. And you see tiny dots, like these little vessels of some sort, traveling back and forth along these two lines, one going up, one going down.
Like a funicular?
Almost like a gondola.
That's cool.
And it just forms a steady circuit hundreds of feet above the jungle canopy below, just going back and forth between the pyramids and this hill.
And this is across the water?
This is like across the water, yeah.
Like how far? Can we tell, like, how many miles?
Few days journey, because you can get you see, as you're like taking your scope of the area, you see a pathway that leads down from the cliff to the floor below, and a way that winds through the jungle to lead there, kind of skirts around.
You can go like along the coast.
Yeah, you can go along the coast, but the coast isn't like barren. It's thick. You're gonna have to go through the jungle, basically. If that isn't the area you'd like to go. As you take in the rest of the surroundings, nothing else seems to have any sort of hint of civilization besides this.
I think we know our destination.
Yes. If the
this is indeed a culture of people that could help us get back in touch with Dr. Riddleson. We have to try to find a way.
Get back home.
Yes.
What makes you think there are settlements over there?
I don't know.
What's that from? I don't know what you're
talking about. No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Answer me. I don't know why it was funny.
Buggle slaps Brother Ramius. Tell me.
Never mind. Let's just go.
Well, are you going to answer him? I'm so confused.
I'm confused. Why did you... You laughed.
Yes, I know.
What's the joke?
I just gave you another hint.
You're making beep boops.
I don't know the answer.
I don't either, but I'm loving this.
I would like to know what makes you think there's settlements over there.
The thing that we saw... The thing.
Don't get technical with me.
Oh, God.
It's too rocky this
way. Let me give you a perception check.
Yeah, rolling dice, dice.
Nope.
20 for Buggles.
20 for Buggles.
Nope.
13.
12 for Brother Eight. Davis.
13 for Talitha as well.
Nice. Unless
it has to do with the Shade Wither key. In which case, it's a 14.
Buggles and Hubert notice something that the rest of you don't. Perhaps their eyesight is better, despite their tiny frame. You see these little gondola-like things going up and down, and they appear to be carrying cargo from the hill to the pyramids, and the ones coming back from the pyramids are empty. So it's like something is coming from the hills to the pyramids and then returning back empty.
And we can access the hill, right? Not the pyramids. Or if we go through the jungle, you think we can get to the hill, not the pyramids?
No, I think you could get... It looks like you can get to the... It looks like you want to get to the pyramids because the pyramids on the mountainside look to be only the largest structures of a more substantial settlement. Oh. Like it's like all part of one settlement, but it looks like the pyramids are the destination. They're about 40 miles away. So I think a couple days.
But how close are is the hill that's on our side right now?
The hill where stuff is being sent to is about 5 miles away.
Oh.
So I misspoke. Now. Yeah. You can get to the hill within a day, but you've got to still go through the jungle. So it's going to be a little tricky. But it seems like the hill is the first place you could go. And then the pyramids are part of a more substantial settlement you could get to afterwards.
I mean, I wonder if we could even take the gondola.
Take the gondola?
Yeah. Why not?
That stuff. Like, I wonder if it's like a mining colony or something.
Maybe.
Because there's stuff like going in towards the settlement but not coming back.
Yes. Perhaps. Very interesting.
I'm not afraid of heights, but when I'm in a gondola, I don't know, it activates something in me where I feel like that thing is definitely...
I'd be afraid of a medieval gondola.
Me too.
One that goes across a huge expanse.
A giant, extraterrestrial jungle. I'd be pretty scared.
Full of dragons.
Full of dragons that shit everywhere.
All right, let's go through the jungle toward the hill.
Yeah.
Great, yeah, it makes sense. You've only briefly explored this area, and like the jungle is super dense and forbidding. To try to get directly to the pyramids would take multiple days, but, you know, if everything goes according to plan, you could get to the hill maybe within a day or two. So you start... trekking through, bushwhacking your way through the jungle.
There's no trails.
There's trails. They're just not like...
well kept.
They don't look like they've been trodden in a while. Mm. Oy, this is thick jungle. Oh, I never... my mother would tell me stories about jungles, but I never seen one. Didn't think they were real. What was a fantasy thing? Jungles. Even the word is silly.
It's so funny that your mom told you stories and you don't know what books are.
Yes. Well, she didn't read them. She just knew him. Mm. Yeah. Word of mouth. Oratory culture come from.
You know, Hubert, I've actually never been in a jungle either.
Get right out of town!
I grew up in a forest.
Neither have I.
Similar to your forest, but not horrible.
Brother Asta, look at us. Just a couple of jungle newbies.
Mm-hmm. Buggles, have you been in a jungle?
I've been in a jungle.
You have?
Oh.
Was it like this one? Was it this one?
No, it was not this one. The heat. Can we go?
Of course.
Of course.
Oi.
All right, then, you lead the way. Are we still holding hands?
No.
You can let go.
All right. Don't lose me in the thickets.
We start walking very quickly.
Very fast.
Brother Trevor.
We throw him off the cliff.
I love how he's calling everyone brother.
Well, yeah, let's try an experiment. We fling him like a frisbee off the cliff.
Oi!
Brother Ramius is going to, within the first moments, he's going to look around the foliage, you know, from right where we start to see if he can find like a fallen stick or something like that from a tree to use as a walking stick, just to try to support himself and all his books. He starts to get exhausted.
Yeah, so you're looking along and finally you do see like this gnarly old piece of brown wood.
Yeah.
You can kind of break a piece of it off and make a good walking stick.
He's going to take that and start making his way through the jungle.
Maybe Asta helps you, like, bushwhacks with her katana in front of you, just, like, clearing some, you know, hard brush.
Excellent. And we'll start moving through.
You walk for a couple hours or so, and even going through this dense jungle, it's hot. It's oppressively hot. And the trees aren't forming the same canopy that the Thinlands Forest or even the Wildwood formed, so you're not getting, like, a reprieve of, like, cool, damp air. But eventually, you come to an area where the branches on the trees extend outward, and there's more of a canopy for you to, like, take a break under if you wanted to and cool off. And it's like night and day from the last couple hours.
Keep us, save us. It is so hot. Oh, and he touches, like, a rag to his head, wiping the sweat away.
Talitha's hair has gone completely frizzy.
So is Asta. Her fur is like huge.
Yeah, like hair metal hair.
So puffy. Every time she moves, it's like.
That's amazing.
There's like several huge trees providing shade for the undergrowth here.
Is there any water? Any rivers or
no
anything?
No water. Yeah, the only water you saw was that blue green ocean or lake. Mm-hmm. Everybody give me a perception check as you stand about the trunk of this rough, gnarly tree.
Dirty 20.
Whoa, me too. Dirty 20.
12
again for Brother Ramius. He is too distracted by this heat, I guess.
9. Talitha's glasses have fogged up.
Aww.
The humidity.
Buggles is like, he's sitting off on his own, just maybe on a rock, and he's just, his head is down, and he's just sort of quietly, it sounds like he's quietly mumbling to himself, so he's not paying attention. Get a dirty 8.
As you're taking a break here under the trees, this was a film we would see somewhere up in the trees, something watching all of you.
Predator!
As you...
Do we see thermal outlines?
Cut back to you guys wiping your brow. Again, view from the trees.
Breathing. Looking
down at you. Dum 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 dum. Suddenly there is a scream. And you look up and you see this creature that looks like a cross between a monkey and a scorpion. It like whips its tail around at you, and the tail starts flying down at the party. Roll for initiative.
Oh, whoa! No.
It's roll, tail.
Roll, 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 it's tail.
Roll for initiative.
Go to a new map.
Can I use my perception rollover?
I was not ready.
It's a brand new roll.
All right, whatever.
all right, let's. Man, I feel like we haven't done this in a while, because we haven't.
Yeah.
Asta, what'd you get?
16.
16 for Asta. What about Zephyr?
Same, 16.
Wow, you're two.
Winning.
Oh my God.
16, buddies. I still have Zephyr with wounded condition, but I'm assuming that's been removed from a few weeks ago. Buggles.
Natural 20 for 24.
Whoa. Ooh, Buggles. Talitha.
25.
Wow, never to be outdone. Talitha with a 25, and Brother Ramius.
27.
Whoa.
Rounds it out.
Sheesh.
And guaranteed, this thing will go first.
How'd you know?
that you can't really go first.
I
you know what, dude? It's getting ridiculous.
I know.
Like, you know it's 100% of combats.
Is it 100 at this point?
I haven't. I know it's like the last seven.
When I say that I've rolled every single initiative through Foundry VTT, but like I said a few weeks ago, because this obviously does happen a lot, I think what happens is when you're fighting against a much lower number of enemies, whether it be one, two versus four or five, they're meant to go first.
They're not.
I mean,
they have a higher bone.
Yeah.
But you're telling me you're always rolling 15, 16, 17, 18.
That's the issue.
18.
They have a higher bone, Boundary and then Troy VTT. Rolls.
And then
for all your GM number fudging.
Yeah, I mean, the way I set up these encounters is like I can pre-set up all these encounters. I pre-roll initiative, load all you guys in, and then I just have it set. And
I understand. I'm just saying.
Monkey Scorpion got a 32.
It's a statistical anomaly.
Mm-hmm. It's the La Valley way. Well, it's going to go first.
32. I mean, not even close.
As a compromise, can he go after Hubert?
Yeah, what did Hubert roll?
Hubert goes, ah! And runs away.
I rolled a natural 18. You rolled a natural 20.
I rolled a natural 19.
Okay, so it's...
Yeah, there's no way.
Yeah. I had a...
Joe is doing the mental math, and he's like,
I'm trying to figure out what he would have to roll.
I think I rolled a natty 19. Well, I didn't roll it. The e-roller rolled it.
Yeah.
Here's what this creature looks like.
Ah! Oh.
Whoa. Whoa. He's also got four arms.
Oh, that's so...
What in the...
Ew.
What? Yeah,
I don't like that.
So he's horrible. Got the monkey arms and the monkey feet, but then also scorpion claw pincers, like another set of arms.
And then his teeth.
The scorpion.
Yeah, he's got the monkey teeth, and then next to him, he also has scorpion, like, stinger teeth.
And multiple eyes.
And multiple eyes.
And, there's
and
many
of course,
eyes.
The scorpion tail. The full scorpion tail with
like
the stinger
on
and everything.
Fire and has, like, prongs.
It has barbs sticking out of it. This thing is fucked up.
Yeah, I don't like this at all.
It is with that scorpion tail that it flies out to attack Buggles. So the tail comes extending out at an unnatural speed, elongating as it does all the way to the forest floor to hit Buggles. And I rolled a natural 20. And we'll see you right after this.
Oh my God!
We are back, and it is not a named character. However, this is going to be nasty. So it's going to be double damage. I don't even think I have this many dice. Gosh. Oh, God! 28 points of slashing damage.
Okay.
Well, piercing. Down.
What the?
Oh, my God.
Did you forget to level us up? After we beat Kanipo?
I
was
going to
ask.
Let me just make sure I did that right. 28 points of damage on a crit. So hits Buggles. Buggles goes unconscious.
And to dying two.
Yeah. Boom! Buggles hits the floor. The harpoon tail goes back up. Shroom! Comes down at... another one of you.
What?
Second action. This one is going to be, let's see.
Is this a ranged attack or a melee attack?
This is a ranged attack.
Okay.
And this one is at Brother Ramius.
But wait, so you're 35 feet length away, but how high up in the tree is that monkey?
Are you out of range? How high up is that monkey?
Are you doing A squared plus B squared?
He's within range. He's within range. This is what happens. People start going down. People start questioning my math!
Well, no, I want to know if I can hit it.
Yeah, it is 25 feet away. 25 feet up, yeah. It's got crazy range with its tail. And the tail, like I said, it elongates like some weird, stretchy substance. This one comes. And Brother Ramius. Will I get another natural 20? No. Misses with an 11. And then it starts scampering further up the tree. Okay. Buggles is down.
What is that horrible thing?
And it is Brother Ramius' turn.
Take care of it. Get rid of it.
Oi, what happened to the little green guy?
Oh, God. You still have to listen to the commentary? He's not going to participate in the combat?
Why is your friend sleeping in the middle of the fight?
Could we have retconned that we gave Hubert a dagger or something so he can help?
Okay, like this. Okay. He has a little stick.
What do I do?
Oh, man.
I'm not going to save you.
No knowledge.
All right, Brother Ramius is going to
be NPC. Nothing to contribute.
He's my favorite kind of
NPC. Classic Troy NPC.
There has to be something he can contribute.
At least Tumsy had, like, you know, knowledge about the environment.
He doesn't even know what the word book means. All right, Brother Ramius, this thing is now 35 feet off the ground.
Shit, man. All right, Brother
32 feet, if you actually want to do the math.
Ooh. Sydney's doing math.
Yeah. Sydney's doing math.
The branches on the big tree start at 20 feet above the ground. You could try to climb these trees. The bark is rough and gnarled enough for you to climb it. You could try and balance on these big, thick branches once you get up there if you wanted to try and to get into melee with it. Not something you'd want to do, but I want you to know what your options are.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, Brother Ramius is going to cast Heal on Buggles to start. That's going to be 15 points of healing.
Very nice. Thank you.
Powerful heal to bring him back.
So now he's wounded one.
And then Brother Ramius is going to move to get cover. So I'd like to move to, you know, some sort of cover. Is that possible?
Yeah, that's fine. You can move further back.
A branch or a trunk between me and the creature. Something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. By moving back to... There are three main trees here on the map. It is in the... there's two in, to the north, one to the south. It is in the northwestern tree. And so you move down to the south, sort of behind the bark of one of those trees, and just hope to God that there's nothing in that tree above.
Yeah,
here.
For real. Another one of them.
And it is Talitha's turn.
Okay. Talitha will devise a stratagem. And in doing so, we'll do a knowledge check, recall knowledge check. But first, let me devise.
Okay, let me roll it.
No.
All right, good.
All right, I am going to attack with that, but I also get a free recall knowledge.
That's what I'll roll, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I roll. Okay, great.
What's your nature?
Nature plus five.
No. Nothing yet. Very strange. Never heard of this.
Okay, I'll take a shot with the hand crossbow. That's a 20. Let me adjust my bonus here.
Just that bone.
That'll be a 21 to hit. 22. I'm sorry, 22.
22 hits.
Okay. Strategic strike. Okay, 7 points of damage from the hand crossbow.
Oh, nice.
Clutch. Okay, and you didn't take any penalties from the distance, right?
Nope, it's in my range increment.
Beautiful.
I invoked Pythagoras.
As well you should.
Okay, and then Talitha is going to leave her crossbow unloaded for the moment, and she is also going to take cover. I guess I'll move back behind this tree to the northeast. Okay with you?
Okay, yeah, that would give you cover as well. Leaving poor Buggles on the ground and wounded, but it is... actually, no, Buggles will move now to the top of the order, and it is Asta's turn.
All right, Asta has her katana in two hands, and she goes... and slams it down, and she calls Thunderstrike.
Nice.
So you see lightning crackle. And I was also trying to decide. I was shaking up the ever heard about a little song called Thunder Road?
Yeah.
He's about to take a hitchhike down the Thunder Road.
Yeah. Make a DC.
And he's going to get picked up by a guy who's going to punch him.
Reflex.
Little reflex save. Bad roll, 14.
Fail.
Wow.
You? Is that Troy's first fail on a saving
throw? It might be ever. So you're going to take 1d12 electricity and 1d4 sonic.
Ew.
And I really want it. I know it's not in the wording. Like, they get knocked around, but I'm like, sonic damage while you're on a tree. I don't know. It's a reflex save. I'm like, would he fall from the tree?
He falls from the tree. Absolutely.
My God, totally.
Shake that tree.
it just seems like he should, is what I'm saying.
Maybe that shit works at your home game.
All right, that's 8. That is smart ass. That's 8 electricity.
8, that's it?
That's really good, though.
And only 1 sonic.
Okay.
And so he stays in the tree.
You know what?
Because it was only 1 sonic.
If it was 2 sonic, I might have
blown him out of the tree.
I could have gotten Max and he wouldn't.
They always say when there's an electrical storm, hide in a tree.
Yeah, that's right. They do say that. So that's
two actions.
Two actions, and then she's going to sprint her speed. She can get up to the tree, and then let me know. Can she start climbing the tree?
It would be a new action.
A new action. Okay.
As far as I know, unless you have a climb speed, you're changing your...
Yeah, she would just sprint to the base of the tree, and then, yeah, she'll get ready.
Looks like Asta might be going
up there.
Dude.
Zephyr's turn. Zephyr, you're the most equipped for this fight.
Yes, this is Zephyr's fight.
On paper, this is true.
Let's go. Let's see how it works. Let's go.
You could snap your epic run of terrible rolling right now.
I think that every time you guys say that, it lasts for two more episodes.
So stop.
You know?
Kate, don't let Zephyr down.
Just want you to know.
We're all counting on you.
No pressure.
Including Zephyr.
All right.
No problem, guys. You got this.
Here we go. First action. Shpoing. Enter monastic archer stand.
Yeah.
You see her get ready. She's like, all right, it's a new day. It's a new me. Whatever. We're going to do this.
Whatever. She says whatever.
In her brain, she's like, whatever. I'm just going to try to do it.
Whatever.
Inspiring confidence.
Try again.
Wow.
No, that's the attitude. Don't let them know that you care a lot. You're like, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
If the gods know that I care, they won't let me hit it. It doesn't even matter to me.
If the gods know I care, they won't let me hit it.
They never give me what I want.
Such a twisted view of reality. Does she have, like, horrible OCD or something?
What did she just say? Such
do
confidence.
The gods know that
Zephyr,
you care?
I think we have to have a conversation.
I'm so good at role-playing in combat. All right, so yes, enter monastic archer stance.
Okay.
And then she's going to take two shots
at
this monkey.
With this is Flurry of Blows.
With the Flurry of Blows.
And you're within your volley range or without your volley?
I am outside my volley, but within my first range increment.
Boom sauce.
First half my range increment.
Okay. Come on.
Scorp key?
Come on.
Monkey in?
Okay, wait. Scorpy?
Scorpamunk.
Scorpamunk.
18.
Miss.
Oh.
Damn it.
Okay.
Turns around and shows you its ass.
Okay.
Oh. Hey. Whatever.
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 It's fine.
You didn't care anyway.
First arrow. Pshoo, right past. She's like, no problem. No problem. I got this. Next arrow. Nope. That's a 5. Pshoo. She's like, you know what? No. Oi, I am there. A hero.
I'm new to all this, but aren't you supposed to hit the creatures attacking you?
Oh, this fucking
Not
guy.
Quite sure. Never read about combat.
I don't think you even know what a boat is.
I don't, but my sister had one in her hair.
Go away.
Did you roll initiative?
Sister? What?
Did you roll
Did you
initiative?
Roll
no,
initiative.
I'm too scared to fight.
Oh, God.
Then you don't get to speak.
Why are you standing here?
Well, I'm just here for commentary. You missed twice.
Oh, man!
Throw Hubert! Yeah. Throw him!
Next turn.
Have Hubert roll into a ball and then start throwing him, lobbing him at the...
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, with my last move, I don't want to get hit by this tail, so I do want to take some cover and move away. So into this little thicket tree area. Hopefully that'll
It's amazing.
Help.
Leaving Hubert alone on the battlefield.
See ya!
Hubert and Buggles. Buggles is prone and on the ground, and everyone leaves. But now it is Buggles' turn. Buggles, you're wounded one and prone. What do you do?
Buggles is gonna stay on his back, and he is going to pop, do an ignition, try to do an ignition on the creature. Oh, that is a 23 to hit.
Shooting fire into the trees.
Yeah.
That is a hit.
Nice.
Beautiful.
The tree catches flame. The tree catches fire, and the bough that he's standing on falls, and he dies.
Yeah.
That is 6 points of fire damage.
6 points of fire damage. Okay.
And then I'm with my third action. I'm going to stay on the ground, and I'm going to raise shield cantrip.
Boom. Shield.
You like literally turtle up.
Yeah. Like hiding under this
shield comes over you.
Blue disc.
Is it equal to the penalty for prone? Does that give you a +2 or?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're like, I put petrified on there, but it's supposed to be prone. Yeah, all right, so you do shield to kind of negate the prone situation. It is the monkey scorpion's turn. It looks down at Asta. Ah! And it shoots its harpoon tail down at you.
Do I have any coverage now that I'm at the base of the tree with all the branches? Like, is there no concealment down there?
No.
Okay. They went under other trees. They get concealment, and
well,
I'm
he's
oh,
not
no.
taking any.
He looks happy.
He's
about
not getting
his role.
Any cover.
Yeah, that's going to be a 30 to hit.
That is a crit.
That's a crit.
My AC is 19.
Oy.
Zoinks!
We're level 2.
I'm level 2. We haven't bought armor. I haven't gone to a store.
I have the highest AC.
We've been in the thin lands for months.
Exact same damage. 28 points of damage,
and I'm down.
And you're
down.
This is not fun to play. every time I'm like, I'm going to go do the thing where I go to hit the creature and then I go down.
I'm going
to
be a hero.
Get to do anything.
That is kind of the Chewy way, right? You're going to go down.
You're going to go down.
It's also like you're the frontline fighter. This is gonna happen.
You're not wearing any armor?
More than anybody.
No, I have on a breastplate. Okay. I'm just like a weak little guy, I guess.
Nah, he's rolling rocks.
He's rolling rocks.
All right, you know what? Let's raise the stakes a little bit. Second action. It starts to pull you towards it with its tail.
Oh, no.
This is going to be an athletics check against your fortitude DC. What is your fortitude DC?
It's a plus 7 for my saving throw. So,
right,
my
so that's 17. A 17.
Is it a 17? Okay.
A 10 plus your...
Does this change if I'm unconscious? Should I put in a condition? No.
Okay. Put dying just to see if it makes a difference. I don't think it affects your fort. Clicked on you, so everything's black and white because you're dying too, by the way, if you're following along at home.
Why am I dying too?
Because you got crit down.
That's why.
All right, so it succeeds. It wasn't a crit success, so you get pulled 5 feet off the ground towards it. And then for my final action, I'm going to attempt to pull you even closer, another 5 feet up towards.
So you guys just see Asta gets speared and goes completely limp, like bleeding, and then just gets pulled off the ground, like fully horrible. It's
like your limp body is just being lifted.
Horrifying.
Like
you're still holding your katana, right?
Yes.
Just like perfect. Bishop at the end of Aliens. Yeah.
I would never let go of my katana.
Never. Rigor mortis.
Yeah, I gripped it so tight.
Bishop didn't either. He wasn't holding one.
All right, so I fail because this reposition has the attack penalty, so I take the map, so I fail.
Okay. And
so you just stay at 5 feet above the ground, so there's a chance. However, you are dying too, and you do feel that pierce within you has formed some sort of hole that could be very, very bad.
On the plus side, we can just assume that Oss is dead, and it can't use the tail against us.
If you all ran right now, you'd probably be fine.
Yeah, it got its meal.
Just putting that out there.
It's probably not going to chase us.
It would be easiest for the party to just run.
You make a great point, though. Keep me in the tail, and I will slowly pass away, and you guys won't get hit by the tail. It's kind of genius.
Also, silver lining, if you die by him eating you, you don't have to die from the poison.
That's a great point. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is that Talitha talking? Is that Matthew? Are you still mad about earlier?
I think he's mad about the Bruce Springsteen stuff.
I think you're mad about the Bruce Springsteen stuff. And you're taking it out on Asta.
All right, so you are grabbed as well. So okay. Give yourself the grabbed, John. And this thing is like barbed that's within you.
Oofa doofa.
And it is Brother Ramius's turn.
Asta, no!
And he stumbles out like the clumsy fool he is.
Aye, Brother Ramius!
The tree. And he completely ignores the hedgehog, pretends he's not even here. And he's going to look up at Asta. It's connected to this thing. And he'll try to blast the creature and distract it into maybe dropping Asta. So he's going to do a divine lance. This white light shoots across at the animal. That's a 22.
A 22 to hit hits.
Nice. Okay. Come on. Do something here. Don't roll garbage, Ramius. Don't roll hot trash. 6 points of damage. That's not bad. Spirit damage.
Okay. You hit it.
Does it weaken its spirit?
Does it weaken its spirit? Perhaps.
Is it saying, for example, whatever?
You hit it, and it shudders, and you see Asta, like, limply swinging from its spiked tail.
Didn't let her go.
Yeah.
That's his turn.
Okay. It is Talitha's turn.
Okay.
That's your turn, right, Joe?
Yeah.
That's your turn. That's your... Just making sure that's
your, it.
Okay.
Okay.
Talitha?
She's got caps. What am I going to do? Bring her up? She'll go right back down.
She got caps.
She's got caps.
That's right. You have two caps.
Yeah, I can stabilize.
She's fine.
Exactly.
I'm going
to
die,
So I'm going to do damage to the creature.
Okay. All right.
You're not going to die with caps.
Okay.
Talitha will...
might, but we'd all have to be dead.
Basically. Move out from behind the tree. I was going to turn into a cat and climb the tree.
It'd be so cool.
Now I got to save Asta's life.
Did you say Asta purposefully?
Yeah. Asta.
Asta.
Asta. She fights like Asta.
Wow.
When I wake up, you guys are dead. You guys are so dead.
You're going to be Asta Leaf.
Yeah. Yes.
So mean.
Thunder roads take me.
I just...
thunder.
I just think it's
take me home.
I'm in it for the drama.
Set up the drama.
Okay, to hit, that's going to be a 19.
I just rolled a natural one while I was fucking around.
Yeah.
That's a hit.
Okay. That's a right. That's not a.
You moved into away
moved,
from the cover.
Moved, reloaded, okay. Shot. I didn't have the actual counter.
So a 19 is its AC. Because I did 18.
6 points of damage, max.
Hey,
damage.
That's great.
There you go.
6 points.
Another six
of damage. Okay. And anything else?
That's it.
Okay. Zephyr, you see. Astip, you were pretty cold to upon meeting, but perhaps over time you've grown closer. And look what happened. Last time you grew close to someone, they died.
Maybe that's why I don't grow close to people anymore.
Because you're poison.
Whatever. I saw Talitha make a hit, and she didn't try that much harder than I did. Mm-hmm. So I
tried really hard, actually.
You should do what she did. Hit it!
Hedgehog. So I come out from underneath the tree cover, still in my stance, and I try again with my flurry of blows.
Zephyr.
She's still keeping it positive. She's not crying out of frustration yet. She's like, okay, no, it's fine. I got this. She gets another two arrows out, ready to go.
I believe in you.
No.
Oh, no.
Miss. That's an 11.
Oi!
On the first one.
Wow.
Be like, Brother Ramius, can you please just be quiet? Please don't talk to me while I'm trying to shoot.
So sorry. Keeper, it's your please guide her with.
You hear him.
Oh.
No.
Yeah.
Caitlin.
Yeah.
Caitlin? Wait. I mean. Fly
away. So it's just a miss.
Would you please read the result of your die?
I gotta go.
The listening audience at home, as well as the viewing audience.
Got a natural one.
Oh my god!
On my second attack. But I gotta call it. I gotta go with my ride. It's last time my mom
just called.
My mom's here to pick me up.
My mom's picking me up. My mom's downstairs.
Unlike Monkey Scorpion, this is a named character. That would be a ranged Fumboni.
Oh boy.
God. All right, this one from Dylan in Adelaide, South Australia.
Hello, Dylan.
Dylan. It's titled, Sorry, Skid.
Oh, no.
There are a lot of those are titled that.
What the fuck kind of bullshit
I
is awaiting
us? I love his face already.
Wherever you are attacking from, your attack magically finds its way flying toward wherever Skid is.
No.
Oh, my.
Why?
That's...
Roll a new attack roll against Skid's character.
I swear.
If you beat his AC, it's half damage. If Skid or his characters aren't present, roll randomly to choose a target.
This
Dylan targeted you.
When
he's tired.
Dylan,
he's fighting
Dylan
back.
Wrote this, he didn't know that I was going to be targeting the cutest character.
He didn't know. That Buggles is a cutest.
What if you crit?
Character.
He did know he was targeting one of Skid's characters, though.
What if you crit? Skid.
That's the fucked up thing about this fumble is that it could happen to an enemy.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Even if the enemy fumbles, it would still fuck me up.
That's true. It's such a twisted.
Or if you fumble, you'd hit yourself, which is your least favorite.
This Dylan hates you.
You personally.
Specifically.
You personally, and specifically.
I bet he has your Latin textbook, too.
Just roll another nat. Do I use...
Question. So that was my second roll. Do I use my third map for this?
For a new attack?
This just represents a die roll.
This is an otherworldly attack.
Yeah, but it's still a -5. It's the same attack roll.
You're just...
Same... Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Whatever you just used...
+3.
Yeah, +3 to hit.
No, 16.
That's a hit.
Are you serious?
He is prone.
Yeah, because I'm prone.
But you have shield.
Oh.
Yeah, with the shields.
Still there.
Because it is +1. It's not +2. So.
Okay. All right, so.
So it's still a hit.
So it's half damage. How many hit points do you have?
If we ever come to Australia.
Yeah.
Well, we aren't now. I'm not going. You guys.
I'm not going.
Fucked up.
Live from Dylan's backyard.
all right,
so
damage.
You're going to give him half damage, which may take him straight
back
to dying.
Down.
No.
So do I roll a d8 and half it, or just do a d4?
No, roll a d8.
Roll a d8 and half it.
There comes the 8.
Two points of damage.
Okay.
Okay.
You rolled a 2?
I rolled
a 4. Minus,
gotcha. All right, so 2 points of damage.
Okay.
Do you have any attacks left? Anything else you want to hurt?
Jesus. So I moved and I did three of blows. They both missed. One of them did a U-turn.
Yep.
And
paused
hit
in
Buggles,
that air, mind you.
So now I feel like...
You literally pulled the bow back and it shot sideways.
Yeah.
Per the fumble, it magically finds its way toward wherever Skid is.
She's like, am I cursed? Did I get cursed by something? Like, I really don't think I should be using my bow and arrow anymore. So rather than take a third attack, can I do a knowledge roll on this monkey?
That's about time somebody
scorpion. Did. I have nature. It's plus four.
Nature plus four?
No idea what this thing is. No idea. You're not even sure if it's a monkey.
It's otherworldly, for sure.
It's otherworldly.
It's Castrobellium.
It's also the top of round three, and it is Buggles.
Buggles.
Okay. So as he's lying there on the jungle floor and he gets struck by a friendly arrow.
Buggles, I'm sorry. I don't know what happened.
He's like, ah.
It's not me.
It's like, he looks back in your face and all of a sudden his eyes glow blue as he's looking at you. He's like, ah. And boom. The frost forms around him and he reaches out a hand and casts Frostbite on the monkey. Please give me a fortitude save.
Unleashed. Fortitude save from the monkey. 16.
Ooh.
Okay, ooh. That is a failure.
Oh, that's huge.
You guys will forget these fails. You'll be like, I succeed! Die, I save!
That is...
Which one of us talks that way?
Yeah, who is that?
Kate.
Whose voice is
Kate.
That's my Kate.
That's so Kate.
That's 10 points of frosty damage.
10 nice. Points of frosty?
Through the monkey.
Okay. And usually when you take frost in a tree, you slip
you fall out of the tree.
Slip
because of the
tree.
Ice.
What's
that's
it?
In the remaster.
Sonic frost.
That's in the remaster.
And
when fighting in trees section.
And I get 5 points of temporary HP nice. Myself.
Awesome.
And actually, okay, yeah. And then with my third action, I am going to do a Psy Burst. So please give me another a will save.
Fail.
Oh, sorry, reflex. It's a reflex.
14.
That's a fail.
Oh.
Okay.
Let's go, Buggles.
It's another 2 points of damage as my the Kula Khan's psychic energy knifes into its brain.
Hits.
Mental monkey. Damage.
Looks pretty. It's like shaking up there on top of the branch.
You're fine.
Shaking up there. Pretty, pretty rough.
Until she falls and takes falling damage.
It's now
only 5 feet.
Dying
feet
free. Bottle cap.
It's Asta's turn. A couple things are going to happen. As you are grabbed with this barbed filament, you immediately take 5 points of bleed damage, which takes you straight to dying three.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
And now you roll to stabilize. If you fail, you die. If you have any bottle caps, you can give them all to me to automatically stabilize, or you can roll first, as is often suggested. But if you...
Okay, but if I roll first and it fails, I can use a bottle cap.
That's, yeah. Should your dying condition go up, then you can use it, but you have to use every single bottle cap.
Right.
How many do you have?
She has the bleed condition.
Oh.
You didn't say that before.
You take 5 bleed.
Okay, so I have bleed.
It's not the bleed condition.
Okay, oh. Okay.
You take 5 bleed
maybe
damage.
As long as you're in its okay. grasp.
Yeah,
maybe.
With
you know
this
what?
Thing.
I've been down this block before with a previous character. I'll roll, but now I have bottle caps, so we'll see what
roll
happens.
A natural 20.
How many caps you got?
I'm going to use my... I have 2 caps.
You're all natural 20. You're stable.
Yeah,
you're ashamed to lose all of them.
Oh, no, you're not stable, but you're dying one.
All right, so DC 13 flat check.
13?
Yeah, you're dying.
13!
Oh, no. Okay. Well, that's a fail. That's a 9, so...
Right, so that would take you to permadeath, or you can give me both of your caps.
For the listening
get him,
audience.
Sid.
Oh, you got a
back.
Bounce back.
Don't make
rule. Bounce back roll.
I will lob this very softly.
Okay, thank you for the soft lob.
all right.
So,
she then broke Troy's computer.
All right, so then now you automatically stabilize,
yeah.
And I think in this case you lose the wound. You're not wounded, right?
Not wounded. You are stable at 0 HP.
But I'm still grabbed.
Still in the grasp.
Yeah.
And unconscious, still grabbed, but not dying.
And unconscious, but not dying.
So correct. I have 0 HP, not 1 HP. 0 HP.
0 correct. HP.
Yep. All righty.
However, it is the monkey scorpion's turn. First thing it does is attempt to pull you towards it. Actually, no. Let's have some fun. It's going to.
That's not fun for you.
Yeah.
It's going to clamber down towards you. As it does, you feel the tail getting stronger and stronger because it's no longer elongating. Its body is contracting.
This is such a creepy creature.
And it comes down and just goes to claw you. 25 to hit.
Oh, yes.
All right. So you just go right to dying one.
Two, because that's a crit.
No, it's not.
No, no, 19 is her.
And also, it's 17.
Unconscious and prone.
17. Oh, that's my grabbed. Hold on. Unconscious.
What's your unconscious AC?
Select. 13. That's a crit.
Wow, Matthew. Pretty good.
Thank God for Matthew.
He really does Matthew. Have it out for you.
You got really mad about Bruce Springsteen today, and I want everyone to know that.
I got really sad about Bruce
Springsteen. This is for you, Bruce.
Bruce,
this
Bruce,
is for Bruce.
Bruce could help you in times of troubles like he has me.
So,
like right thank now. Goodness you're not wounded.
Dying two, you said, eh?
Yep, dying two.
That was a fun use of my bottle caps. Not.
And then
literally
just
saved your own life.
Just to really take things to the next level, it then releases you. You hit the ground and go to dying three. And then with its third action, it
from
fires.
5 feet?
Yeah, because you take, well, do you? Yeah, unconscious, I would imagine you take damage.
How much damage am I taking falling? From 5 feet?
It's 1 point of damage. It's enough to bring you to dying three.
I watched a video about with a trauma surgeon kind of commenting on the injuries in Home Alone. It hurts you a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, 5 feet is actually kind
if
of
if you fall more
head,
than 5 feet.
Head strike, cracked ribs, puncture a lung.
No damage.
No damage?
Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
Even while unconscious?
Yeah. If you fall more than 5 feet.
There's nothing about unconscious.
Yeah. Okay. Make right. it canon. Asta still has a soft spot in her skull.
I think.
Never. She's like a baby.
Next time we're all staying at a hotel together, we should take each other's beds. And while we're unconscious, just drop everybody 5 feet.
5 feet.
See if it hurts.
If you take any damage.
At all.
If you wake up.
See if it hurts at all.
It hurts at all.
If you say it hurts at all, you should take 1 foot. All right. That's fine. All right. So you just hit the ground, dying too.
Cool.
And then it is going to shoot its harpoon out at
Hubert. He's closest.
He's right there.
Talitha. Probably going to miss here. Yeah, not two. So misses. That's
it snaps right next to her head.
Yeah.
Brother Ramius, you see Asta lying perfectly fine, having taken no damage from the 5 foot unconscious fall.
Perfectly fine. Huge gaping wound.
Also, like, if we were going to do this properly, comedically, like, as she was released, it would be at that awkward angle where, like, her head and neck hit first. So it's like, and it has this horrible, horrible sound.
Crunch.
Like, and she took no damage.
Perfectly fine. Never felt better.
Perfectly fine. It's only 5 feet.
It's only 5 feet. All right, Brother Ramius.
Well, they say, like, in a car crash, if you're, like, sleeping in the car, you take less damage.
Because you're ragdoll.
Your body's ragdoll.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, if you're the one driving...
You take less damage?
You take less?
Yeah.
Take fewer HP.
Doctors say that.
Yeah. That is interesting.
Federal Department of Transportation is stipulated.
Take less.
If you're asleep,
suggests
you take fewer hit points of damage when you're asleep.
Okay. All right. Brother Ramius is going is to...
If you're about to crash, you should definitely fall asleep.
Yeah, like,
that's what I got from
quick, sleepy lullaby!
Give me a pill! Someone give me sleeping pills!
He's downing Ambien.
Okay.
Any milk?
Any
milk?
Brother Ramius is going to, now that this thing has clambered down a little bit closer, he's going to try to get a better look at it. So he's going to do a recall knowledge nature on the creature, plus 8. I think. Shit. Don't tell me anything. Don't tell me anything.
You won't anyway.
I want to make sure I didn't foul this up.
You don't know.
I don't know anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I roll really badly when it's for you guys.
I know. That's so crazy. So weird.
So weird.
Why don't you use the app?
Why don't you use the app that rolls you 20s every time?
I could do that.
Yeah, let's make a deal. You roll your Foundry, your knowledge checks on Foundry too.
I'll roll my, I'll set up all the macros for you.
Set up the macros.
There's a macro I could, or there's a thing I can use that lets you guys click your knowledge check, and you can't see the result, but I can.
Oh, that's cool.
I could set that up, but I do like using our sponsored dice as much as possible.
Ramius is going to reach out and cast Stabilize on Asta.
Ah.
So you will stabilize at 0. Wounded 1.
Wounded 1. Thank you.
You got it.
So I'm not unconscious anymore.
You are unconscious.
I am unconscious.
But you are not dying.
Okay.
But you are wounded 1.
Okay.
Yeah, wounded.
So the healing light of the keeper surrounds you, and maybe there's something else infused there. It's kind of strange, and it stabilizes you. But yeah, that's it for now.
Okay, good round for Brother Ramius. Talitha, what do you do?
Reload. Devise a stratagem.
Come on.
Okay, and I will use that and make the check off the substitute the attack roll. That will be, it's going to hit, but it's a 24 to hit.
Oh, yeah. That's a good hit.
Kill it.
And this should kill it, so we're fine.
9 points of damage.
Nice.
And it falls out of the
tree. Yes!
Lands on Asta's body, and she goes back to die. Luckily, it was only 5 feet, so she doesn't take any damage.
Luckily, the corpse is in good shape, because it only fell 5 feet.
Boom. The dead monkey scorpion lands right next to Asta. And Asta is no longer dying, so you are out of danger.
Yeah, Brother Ramius will come hobbling over to Asta.
Oi, Brother Asta, you okay?
Talitha will rush over as well.
I've asked the Keeper's blessing to stabilize her. At the very least, she should be okay.
While Joe is working on her, can I do a medicine check to see if she's been poisoned? Is there something I can do?
Yeah, give me a... what's your medicine?
This is a grisly wound.
My medicine, you say? My medicine is plus five.
Plus five. You don't think so. It doesn't... You're not getting any smell. You look at, like, the tip... The barbed tip of the tail, and doesn't seem to have secreted anything. It's covered in like blood, your blood and her blood, but you don't sense any poison.
I don't think she's been poisoned.
Zephyr goes up to Buggles. You're still laying on the ground. She's like, "I'm so sorry. I don't know what happened there."
And when you do that, the Ku'ulu Khan is still in control.
Oh, so she sees like your blue eyes still.
They turn red, like as you come up, and it just like rises.
Oh,
and like you feel like, and he like lifts his hands up, like he's going to take some kind of revenge on you. And then it's just like staggered, and he's just like, no, I'm sorry.
That's okay, I deserve it.
No. Accidents happen.
Yeah, but I do accidents, and then I also don't help at all either. It's okay.
It's dead now. It's all right. And he just like kind of falls backwards on his back, and he's just kind of like clutching the arrow wound, and he's almost too weak to stand.
Brother Ramius will look across at Talitha as he's working on this horrible wound that Asta took. Have you ever seen anything like that?
I have no idea what this is.
Never even heard of anything like that. Some sort of monkey, scorpion.
He seems to be pretty dialed in, though, because he crit on the treat wounds.
Oh. Nice.
So that's pretty awesome. So he will do a total of 18 points of healing, and you're not wounded anymore.
Huge. Yeah, you
just... wake you up.
From her shallowed breathing, it's kind of...
Asta, you're okay.
Brother Ramius Buggles is still... He was also hit.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Well, but the creature never touched him. What are you talking about?
It's the shark,
The arrow is sticking out of your side.
He
comes up,
when
he touches the arrow. He looks at Zephyr.
I don't know what happened.
Oh, it's all right. It just hurts a little bit around the area where the arrow is.
All right. I'm going to get this out. Buggles?
Yeah.
He hands you a strap of leather. Bite down on this.
And he rips the thing out. And it hurts like a bitch, but it did work, and he starts to heal you for max.
Nice.
16 on the treat wounds.
Oh, so much better. Thank you.
And he patches up that arrow hole.
I scraped my knee. When I saw that thing, I scraped it against the tree. Could you heal me
I'm
as
so
well?
Sorry to hear that.
We all stab Hubert.
I said,
why are you?
Oh,
fuck. What's a stab?
Just want someone to heal me too.
You're still hurt, Asta.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Asta is like still holding her side, and she's definitely alive, but she's like just sitting against the base of the tree next to the dead monkey. And he's like,
he's going to come back over. He's sweating bullets. That is a crit.
Oh.
Six, another crit, which is awesome. For a total of 13 points of healing.
Back up to full. Thank you.
Hubert is poking the monkey scorpion with a stick.
Hubert, no.
Boy, never seen anything like this.
No. This monkey's gone to heaven.
Francis absolutely lost it. Absolutely lost it. He can't even get his breath.
I'm a little worried myself.
I'm actually worried.
Oh, all right. Don't know what that is. I'll stop.
Austin takes...
I should know you wouldn't get that reference. Where is my mind?
Wow. I mean... Can you ever turn it off?
Asta takes Brother Ramius's hand in both her clawed little hands.
Your blood and your blood just mixing
together. Yeah, all over. Thank you. Thank you. I didn't think I would go down. I don't go down that often.
No. That's not what I heard.
I'm sorry.
I gotta kill him.
Oh my. Boy, this it's a joke. Old Harry. My brother Harry used to say that. I don't know what it meant.
No, thought tell us. Asta's hair.
A guy who doesn't know what books are, he has pretty cutting humor.
Hubert, tell us what that means.
I never quite understood the joke. Asta's
hair
funny.
Puffs out. Say what it means, Hubert.
I don't know. Just what my brother Harry used to say.
Say it.
Can we really fling this guy out of
here? Am I funny?
Asta just takes a claw and goes under Hubert's little chin.
Oh.
You are very funny.
Thank you.
Funny little guy. And she almost like lifts him up with the claw.
Boy.
And then just drops her hand and picks up her katana and sheaths it and walks over to the monkey. And then takes her katana out and then just stabs the monkey in the chest.
The body just...
And then she flings the blood off and just puts her katana back in.
You have to find the same inner strength that Liam Neeson and Ewan McGregor did dealing with Jar Jar Binks. Somehow.
How did they hold it together?
They were advanced practitioners of a magical religious order.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't have those skills.
Ramius?
This is why Brother Ramius is taking us in stride. He is, though, very concerned about the dangers we may face in this place.
Yeah, does the monkey scorpion, have anything on it? It's just a monkey scorpion.
Yes, I think it's just a creature
in its
nature.
Animal of this jungle. We need to be careful, but there's nothing we did wrong.
No,
we were keeping an eye out.
This is literally the first thing that we've seen in this place, and it almost... wiped us out, but we could be heading into a literal wave of mutilation.
Perhaps all the more reason to get closer. Oh
my God.
I just can't continue. I can't compete with this. Skid, do you ever get sad that you have no one to banter with in life that can return your serve? Like, you just ace every conversation.
Spike. I'll have Spike. Spike. Hey.
What's your nature, Austin? Hey.
Does anyone know what this creature is?
Yeah, I mean,
I did a nature and failed.
I don't know.
Survival? He hasn't already rolled to try and figure out what this thing is. All three of you rolled. Do you have any survival?
Zero.
Yeah. And nothing, no nature as well.
No.
You do. Here's what I'll say is looking at its tail, you think you could probably harvest the tail to use as an actual harpoon. If you wanted the arranged weapon.
Let's do it and give it to Hubert.
Yeah, I slice the tail off.
Oi!
I throw it to Hubert.
Next time, you help.
What do I do with this?
Figure it out on your own.
Play it like a banjo?
A banjo is?
Yes!
And you cannot...
Of course!
My brother Harry used to play the banjo.
You know,
He had a whole act!
I thought we would have so much in common, being, animals from the forest, but...
He's not from the forest.
From a very dark place.
He's from a horrible, horrible place.
And it made him a horrible, horrible animal.
It's called Boston.
It's called Boston.
Yes. Thank you for this. I'll hold on to it.
Stick him with the pointing end.
All right.
Win the point.
None of us, then.
Gotcha.
All right, let's go.
All the more reason to get to this, whatever this civilization may be. Perhaps they have safeguards against these wild creatures. Let us get back on the move. And Brother Remus will heft up his pack of books, back soaking with sweat. Not any relaxed after that brief respite. and continue on.
Are Asta and Buggle still wounded?
No.
Okay, they both remove wounded.
Go ahead.
Treat wounds.
As a result of successfully treating wounds, you lose the wounded condition.
Right. Also, refresh my memory, Skid. From the sapling rod, how much fruit did we get? And do you have all that fruit?
I don't remember.
It's in our loot sheet.
Ah, I will check the loot sheet. I know that we had the fruit, and I was going to say if we split it up just in case, but maybe...
I feel like it was 4 pieces of fruit. Everybody got one. I thought it did 1d8, something like that.
It either does that or, like, lesser restoration. It acts as one or the other, maybe?
Yeah, but that's a 1e thing. Like, we had to adapt it to 2e.
Change it over. Okay.
So I think we just said 1d8 HP.
Just thinking out loud.
It just occurs to me that if we're on Castrovel or on some tropical island, wherever, that weird guy Malkior is never going to find out what happened to Barna because we are never going back to the Thin Lands farm.
Yeah, well, we hopefully will get back to Galarian one day, or at Avastan, I should say, one day. And
then we could send a letter.
Yeah.
Yeah, there might be a post office at this pyramid.
One can hope.
Maybe.
I mean, they seem to have some advanced technology here.
Yeah. Like the old saying goes, where there are thread gondolas, there are males.
Males. Mm-hmm. All right.
Onward.
Onward. Yeah. And no change, Troy. I want to be updated if there's any change to possible passage of, like, bipedal, perhaps intelligent people.
Okay.
So any trails that suddenly seem a little bit more well-maintained or well-trodden or anything like that, just
markings.
Give me a shout. Otherwise, trees. Markings on trees, blazes. Otherwise, I'll just still assume we're in the complete wild where there's no evidence of
this
anyone
is also got, I mean, this has got to feel like Apocalypse Now.
Yeah.
Because it's like... Yeah. We're in this completely alien place. We're here for, 5 seconds and we get attacked by a scorpion monkey and two of us almost die. So we have no idea like what kind of threats could be lurking for us here.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And we saw dragon poop.
Like we've got to be like crazy on edge, especially you because you're a drug.
Yeah.
You're a drug guy.
Yeah.
I think it's time for drugs.
I think so. Just like Vietnam. That's how they got through it.
When's the next time you're going to be in the jungle?
I've got some.
Exactly.
I've got some shipping.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Oh, right. We got it at that thing. That's right.
What are you guys talking about?
Don't worry about it. be cool, man.
What?
Have you ever smoked flay leaf?
What's that now?
Flay leaf.
No, I just chew on this feather.
The what feather?
This feather right here.
Oh, I thought it was a toothpick. You chew on the feather itself.
I do.
Are you afraid of that grinding down your teeth?
It calms me down. A bit nervous from time to time. Yes. Would you like a chew?
I'm good, thank you.
All right. Some good feather.
I'm going to walk ahead.
He got mad. He's left. All right. I'm going to smoke some drugs. I'm just going to do it.
Okay.
We're at this stop. We're stopped at this little place.
We're stopped.
We're going ahead.
We're moving on.
I know. But he's like, hold on a minute. I want to smoke some drugs. Okay. He just needs a second to roll it. That's all.
So you're doing this in front of us now. We're all just watching you.
Like you heal us.
Fuck it.
Manically.
And he rolls it. And he'll walk with it.
So we're just doing this out in the open now.
He's covered in your blood.
Yeah. As am I.
Have you been smoking that before you try to heal us?
Is that why your hands shake?
You'd be surprised how focused it can make you.
Hey, Jim, really what incredible. If the cops are around?
You know what cops
know
are? What, you have cops in the Thin Lands?
I'm sorry to think you're full of shit. Knock.
You know what banjos and cops are? You've never read a book.
Pulls out a tinder twig. Oh, you know what this is? You know what fire is? Ever seen fire before?
Please.
Oh, put it against your skin. See if it does anything. You nitwit.
My mother called it Bernie stuff. What's that word you used? Fire.
You and this family of imbeciles. In fact, you made it out alive. It's staggering.
I'm the last of my family. Be careful, you're eating the Bernie stuff.
Excuse me. Let's go. Let's move on.
I never knew Brother Ramius, I guess.
Yeah.
Comes out in little spasms.
Asta, if you want me to go in front, I can for a bit.
No, I can.
Are you bleeding? Do you bleed?
She like checks in. The blood is still wet. Like she pulls her hand away. It's still wet all over her robe. And she's like, maybe, perhaps we could walk together.
All right.
And so you continue walking through this thick jungle. Brother Ramius really keeping a careful eye out for any signs of like life that has maybe trod through.
Yes, if any of the trails are a little bit more well kept, any tracks or anything like that. Please, Bill means.
He's a child, Asta.
What?
We're passing the duchy to the left hand side for those listening.
For those listening, we're all pretending to smoke.
Is there any left?
I took one.
I didn't expect to get it back.
I took one.
You don't see any signs of life beyond like wildlife. There are trees that have been scratched. There's that bestial smell about. And the sounds are the sounds of nature, jungle sounds, insects, buzzing, things skittering about in the brush. But eventually you start to hear another sound, the sound of rushing water. And so continuing in that direction, you come upon a rushing river that cuts across the jungle. And as you come out of the clearing into where this river is, you notice that its wide waters are red as blood against the jungle's green. Just upstream, there are some red rock outcroppings that squeeze the river in that portion into narrow rapids, providing a line of jutting boulders that are close enough that you could probably hop across. The rest of the river looks too rough or deep to safely try and traverse. You look upstream, you look downstream, and these little rocks that are jutting out seem to be the only way across. Blood red river. In fact, let's go to the map.
Oh no. Oh, please. I'm so
confused. Oh.
Okay.
What? Oh, you weren't kidding.
Jeez.
Oh.
Blood.
Asta's squinting and she goes, Is that river super red?
I'm so thirsty.
He gets down on his knees at the edge of the river.
Brother Remus,
he's going to put his hand into it.
I'm so fucked up.
And sort of like run it up his hand and see, you know, if it stains his hand red or if it's clear as he pulls it up or if it's red as he pulls it up.
Is it sediment?
Yeah.
Is it red from the rocks?
Pull your hand up and there's like the faintest little orangey residue that's left.
Ugh.
But it's not like viscous.
You'll smell it. Take a scoop and smell.
It smells like normal water, but like... It's obviously not. There's something else going on here. What's your nature again?
8 plus 8.
You think that it's the ominous coloration is due to like just a lot of iron in the water, other mundane minerals that have changed.
Supports your mining theory.
He's going to drink it.
Immediately get the gout.
He immediately gets gout. Very strange thing to happen instantly.
Your foot,
it's
like,
a word you hear often applied to gout immediately.
Yeah. Instantaneous gout.
Ugh. This is what put it over the edge. No, it's very refreshing.
And then I'll scoop more.
Asta goes down on her hands and knees and starts drinking it too, and just like putting it on her face, just
hot and humid. I'm just picturing like not traveling with a proper, you know, water skin and stuff through the dark lands, whatever, the thin lands, sorry. Then through the jungle, super hot, whatever. I imagined he didn't have water on him, so I was eager to see water, and so he's going to drink it.
So Ethan's going to take an empty vial and take a sample.
Mm.
Mm. Mm. Stopper.
That is better.
Yeah, she dugs her whole head in.
I think perhaps the coloring is a result of the minerals.
Yes, red.
The coloring is a result of minerals, perhaps a mine or some such upriver. And he looks upriver. If I perceive in the distance, you know, in daylight, can I see anything far upriver? Does it just turn and go out of sight?
The river starts getting wider and wider and then turns and disappears.
Out of sight, okay. So we need to go across these rocks?
This seems to be the only plausible place to cross.
Is it moving fast?
Yeah, but seems the way dangerous. That those rocks are, it like the water rushes over them, but it's forming these little, you know, the way that they're positioned, it's making it a little bit, what's the word I'm looking
rapids?
For? Yeah, the rapids are splitting, so it's not as crazy. You
okay.
can use the leap action, but, you know, you don't even have to roll for it because it's...
Okay, so this does not seem particularly dangerous.
No. You know, you don't want to fall into this.
Thing. Sure, but like we don't have to roll. We can leap action.
Yeah.
Leap action.
Okay.
Leap action.
All right, so Brother Ramius jumps out first.
Oops. Yeah, I thought it was a little ridiculous that Brother Ramius goes out first, but I will.
He's high.
Boggles.
Slightly emboldened.
Boggles, hold on. I'm a little bit nervous.
Slow down there, Ramius.
Oh.
He just talks to you on the edge of the shore, the last two to leave.
I'm a little bit nervous. Never really... been near this red stuff.
Well, this is just water. I think it's just water.
What's that again?
Water.
Oh, God.
Hold me back.
What do you call
it? It's amazing.
Runny drips.
Oh, no.
What is he saying?
You don't want to know.
He doesn't know what water is.
Oh, for keepers.
This is runny drips. Runny drips, water.
Do you have any more drugs?
For you or for him?
Just me.
Oh, yes.
I'd like to try them.
You'd be the only sober person with this hedgehog here.
Yeah, I can't be back here sober with this hedgehog.
I'm so sober. This hedgehog is so dumb.
It's all right. If it's just runny drips, I'm fine. Oh, look at I go over the runny drips.
Look at I go. Look at I go.
It's a really inconsistent.
And this is our answer.
Oh, hey, Asta, look. Here comes your man.
Jesus.
Are you blaming me for asking him to come with us?
You did.
That's your boy right there.
I thought he would be helpful.
It's your friend.
Oh, stop it.
You let him out of the cage.
We got to talk to the hedgehog. We got to invite him along.
Well, he's coming closer, so do you want to keep being mean in earshot?
Maybe.
He is kind-hearted. Give him a break. He's just so profoundly stupid.
Hubert, make the jump.
Brother Asta, yes?
Jump.
Jump, yes. I'm going right over the runny drips. Here I come.
And Hubert starts jumping from rock to rock. Brother Ramius, up in the lead, turns back to look at this. And as Brother Ramius, you take a glance back to look, the rest of you see something rising out of the water behind Ramius.
Oh, no.
And Ramius, you see the looks on their faces, and you turn and look at this massive snail-like creature.
Oh, no.
Rising out of the water, and it just rears itself back. And we'll see you next week.
Oh, no.
God, Ramius!
I thought it was ridiculous that he would jump out there first.
Too easy.
It doesn't make any sense.
You did it.
I know, but it didn't make any sense.
Be careful. It's gigantic.
Don't fall in the runny drips.
I'll blame it on the flailing.
Huh? Were you high?
Of course. I prefer bold.
It's time to make your membership official. Become an official member of the NAISH today at jointhenaish.com. That's jointhenaish.com, where you'll get access to exclusive podcasts and live streams you can't find anywhere else. See what everybody's talking about and join the NAISH today at jointhenaish.com.